Welcome to the inaugural edition of Frank Relationships, where we provide a candid, fresh, and frank look into relationships with a goal of acceptance, respect, and flexibility. I'm Frank Love at franklove.com, and this week we're joined by an extraordinary bass player, Taurus Mateen. He plays with the group Bandwagon, but he's not riding the bandwagon, at least not as defined by American standards. In fact, it can be said that he's blazing a unique trail. You see, today's conversation has little to do with his music ability, but about the makeup of his family. Taurus lives a life that some fantasize about. He has two wives, and he's here to tell us about it. Ladies and gentlemen, it pleases me to welcome Taurus Mateen to our show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Well, let's jump right in. Now, your relationship is based on your Muslim faith.
Yes, it is. That's correct. So I have a couple of slots open, actually.
Yes. In fact, I was reading that four is the magic number.
Yeah, four is the magic number, unless you can handle some concubines. And if someone can agree to actually be a slave, then you can have more.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us about four. Why is four the magic number of four?
Well, actually, it was reduced to four because during the time in the Arabian Peninsula, just before the Quran was being revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, they were having an unlimited number. They were treating women like cattle, so to speak. So when the verses came down, it limited the number to four and then said you had to treat them all equally in terms of providing sustenance, food, clothing, shelter. You know, as far as love, that's never something that would have been put on a man to try to be equal with. And I think a lot of times women are thinking about that when they think about equality, but the equality comes in how you can take care of them. So you kind of have to really be established or have a very high level of being able to balance the books, you know. So, but four, that's how it got to four.
Now, some would say that four instead of one, or even two instead of one, is a way of herding women or using them as cattle.
Well, in Africa, in Senegal, they say you're not married until you have three. So I don't know. I think that could be where you're from, where you're at. You know, there's a lot of benefits, you know, definitely.
To both sides or just to
I'd
one?
I'd say both sides.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're human beings and people need to have breathers. You know what I mean? We go to sleep. We're not staying up in the hustle and bustle of time. So our body is indicating that it has some rest. And in relationships, everything is connected, you know? And in a relationship, it needs rest sometimes. And people get it, you know? They take it. They get it when they go to work, you know? I'm going out with the guys. I'm going out with the girls. Girls' night out, whatever, you know? So when you have to go and take time to be with one of your wives, then of course you're away from the other one. And in my case, I travel across to Africa and stay for a month or two, you know, two or three times a year. So and I just see that it has a benefit, you know. I mean, it's rough sometimes when you're away. You want to see this woman, you know, but you're away from her. But then it kind of creates the longing, so when you come back together, it's even like you know, some more flame.
So both of your wives are not stateside?
No. Yeah.
You are stateside?
I'm stateside, and one is in Senegal. In
okay.
Dakar, yeah.
And so you have a wife in Senegal and a wife in Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C., yeah.
Okay, where you are, what most considered most of the time.
Well, I can't even say that because I'm a musician. I'm traveling all the time.
All right.
So it I mean, I give thanks. It definitely balances out, you know.
Do your wives know each other?
Well, not in like talking. Hey, how you doing? No, it's not like that.
Okay.
You know? And I don't even want it to be like that because that what I'm doing with this one is none of her business, and like vice versa, you know. In terms of, yeah, that's you know, it's It's definitely separate when it comes to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about children? Do you have children?
I don't have any children with either of them yet. I have children from a previous marriage where I was married to my son's mother and then took on another woman and had two wives as my daughter's mother. So my children are from my first experience in polygamy. I was very young at that time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience. What worked? What didn't work? How did it come together? How did it dissolve?
Oh, wow. It was interesting. It's just something else. Okay. My son's mother, we were kind of having some rough times. And it was my first time going to Africa. And she called me when I was over there. And this is, women are so connected. So men do not think that they're not. They have a high level of
intelligence,
yeah. Perception, man, like foresight, whatever you want to call it. But they're there. So she calls and she's like, "I know you didn't get married on me, but I know you're gonna try to get married." And at that time, I was about to get married, like the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, you know. And it was just strange. So I did get married, and it didn't, that particular time didn't last. You know, we were all super young. And
you are how old now?
I'm 44 now. At that time, I was probably 26, okay. 25, 26. You know, they were younger, 23 and 24, I think, something like that.
And again, it was the stateside.
They were both stateside.
Okay.
Yeah, just different states, Georgia. Both in Georgia, one in North Georgia, one in like, you know, the city or whatever. Yeah, Mountain City.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did it last? How long did it last?
Okay, but like, this was so deep because now at this time, we used to do things together. We used to go to spiritual ceremonies where we would go and be with other people and, you know, eat.
The three of you?
The three of us.
Right.
Yeah. And I had my son at the time, so it was the four of us. So, yeah. It was if we could have maintained that particular type of environment, you know, but the westernized culture environment invaded the psychic of, you know, all of that at the time. And I think that was the thing that really caused it to not be able to continue, you know, the what people think about and how they, what other people are saying to them, who they're around, their friends and all that. It has all to do with what's happening. And one thing that's strong in my Senegalese marriage is they are accustomed to that lifestyle. And even if it's something that becomes weighty on the woman, the family then in turn does what they could do to talk to them to, you know, keep their mind like in the right direction, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, something saying something to them that's going to cause them to even go further away, you know. And it's just the nature of that society versus the nature of this society where people are always slandering and backbiting, true or not, you know. It's like, it's not good. Just, it doesn't concern you really unless you're going to say something good. Don't even really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're tuned in to Frank Relationships. I'm Frank Love, and we're talking to Taurus Mateen. Taurus has two wives, and he's telling us all about his story. Some would say that you lack commitment. Why not commit to one woman? And if you can't commit to one woman, that you're not committed. How do you define commitment?
How do I define commitment? Well, commitment is in all things that a person does, you can pick and choose, you know, these things that where you see the outcome of your life, meaning from now until you are put in the ground, who's going to be there to assist you, you know. And so it's a choice of commitment, you know. And if a person is committed first and foremost to who created them, you know, then all the things that fall along that line, you will be committed in those situations in the moments that you are present. And a lot of times people feel that, you know, there's an ownership thing, but we only own these clothes that we have on right now. These are the clothes that we own. Everything else in the closet is just in the closet. But, you know, my car or, my bicycle, whatever, until I'm riding it, that's when I own it, you know. And so in the moments that are coming by that I'm experiencing, those are the things that I commit myself to. And if you happen to be in that moment, then we're committed. Right now, we're committed to this interview, you know. And so it's just a matter of how a person perceives living, you know. And some people live in the past. Some people are living for the future. But, you know, I'm committed for this moment right now. So
if we could back up for just a moment and discuss your previous two wives, mm-hmm. What is your relationship like with them now?
Oh, man, I pay their cell bills. Yeah, I mean, we close. I'm saying, you know, like, I'm still there as a male figure and that helps them, you know, in conversation, because neither one of them are married right now.
Okay.
And I could take them back, just like, okay, let's go.
All right.
And they probably be like, okay, you know, we have good relationships, you know, and it did something that we experienced that kind of lifestyle. So you see other people and the type of situations or issues that they're dealing with in their relationships, and you look back and be like, man, we were doing something a long time ago that people are, you know, like having issues just to even try to talk about. So the way it brought us together, even to this day, it's still lasting, you know.
And how do you characterize your relationship with your children?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, excellent.
Great.
Yeah.
How do you look at monogamous relationships?
Monogamous relationships are a joke, man. Yeah.
Explain.
Well, a woman who's not married, who is attracted to a man and he happens to be married, ultimately, she's going to continue her pursuit if she's truly attracted and interested in that man. And say, for instance, they come together physically, you know, now they've broken the barrier, this physical barrier that is also important, you know. At that moment, the things to think about is like, if people were into polygyny, how would that be different than having a mistress, so to speak? Because you have women who agree to be in these type of relationships, and so why not get married anyway? You know, that's why I say this monogamy is a joke, because the percentage of women to men in the world, you know, in terms of we're outnumbered, you know. And then there's a prophecy that I read in Islam that says that in one of the signs of the last days is that one believing good man will be responsible for 50 women. And I didn't say like these are gonna all be your wives, but you know, you would have under your care in certain kind of ways 50 women. But if any of us can really count, we would see right now that, you know, we have at least 10. You know, it's already at that point. At least 10 right now. You can count 10, man. You know, and so like monogamy, come on, man. Women need to know that this physical reality is something that is a facade, you know, and don't be bound by it. You know, let's fly away from that, because we're leaving it, and we're coming closer to a spiritual reality. So, you know, this ownership thing, man, you know.
You briefly talked about the advantages of polygamy. Mm-hmm. And what do you see as some of the disadvantages?
I don't really see any disadvantages unless someone really feel, one of the women feel like they can no longer, you know, stay committed to, you know, the way that it would, that it functions, because that's the only thing that's different, really, is the amount of time, you know, that's shared, you know, with an individual. That's really the only different thing about it, you know. We interact with all kind of people all the time, you know. It's like we're sharing ourselves all the time in our lives, you know. The only thing is now when you're married, you have more than one wife, you are having, you know, physical relations with them. But intimacies are not just always involved with just sex, you know. I'm intimate with musicians on stage all the time, women and men, you know. I'm pouring my heart out. So, like, where do you draw the line?
Very nice point.
You know.
We're going to switch gears for a second, and we have a caller. We have a caller, and that caller is Jeff. Jeff.
Good morning. Interesting conversation. There are so many problems with polygamy that I think, even though I'm monogamous and married and living by the law, there are religious issues, there are legal issues, all of which are pretty obvious. But I find it interesting that your guest is talking about this very openly, so I commend him for that and for you for having him on the show. My big question, though, is how would he feel if his wife had more than one husband?
I've been asked that question, like, you know, many times. If my wife had more than one husband, I can't say how I would be able to feel. I know what it feels like to experience seeing your wife with another man, and I laughed. You know, one of my ex-wives, you know, caught them, and I was like, "Wow, this is," you know, I wanted to have the realization of something that I thought was actually happening, and it was funny to me, you know, because then at that point, I know that there's no way that there could be two suns or two moons, so to speak. You know, one is going to be like, "No, I want to set, I want to rise," no. It's not going to work. So it was funny to me to see, like, okay, this is the thing that everybody is asking questions about. Two men for one woman. It's not going to work. One of those guys is going to leave, you know. So, I mean, it just makes me laugh, you know. I wouldn't, it wouldn't bother me, so to speak, you know. I've been all the way to the other side with those experiences. Now, if I hadn't had those type of experiences, then it would be a question of, well, then what is the foundation where that is permissible or lawful, you know, in terms of if we in a religious direction or anything like that. Now, if it was in a religious direction, I'd have to just completely, if I was a part of that religion, that spiritual foundation, I would have to accept it and deal with it, you know. I'm not saying that it's not a test for women to be in polygamy. That's a given, you know. From my elders, I've heard that all the way to my experience. So I know it would be a test for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, to deal with a woman that I'm with and knowing that she's actually has another guy that she's going to be being with. And even that's kind of like the nature of society anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, now you talk to a woman, pretty much you already know she's got maybe one or two guys that she's going to be dating that she will be physically with. So, you know, in this day and time, desensitized. Nobody really cares.
Now, you and Jeff both mentioned law. Mm-hmm. Now, when Jeff said, spoke of the law, I assume he was speaking of the American law, which says that you can only have one wife.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spoke of the law, it sounded as though you were alluding to the law as it pertained to Islamic law.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're both incorporating the law into your conversation, yeah, but it's yeah. They're different laws.
Different laws.
Please speak a bit about the Islamic law and how you are able to live within the quote-unquote Islamic perspective on the law in America.
Well, most people, if they don't know, most Muslims are in their everyday living. The laws that they apply to their lives are laws that come from Quran. And as long as that it is not conflicting in the place where you live, you know, like there's different laws in Europe than there are in America for different things of that nature. You still have to respect the laws of the land, but ultimately we are looking at the laws Islamically as the supreme laws for us. You know, like this is really, if I'm getting married, I don't have to go to the courthouse for them to say you're married. You know, that we have people to marry you. You know, and there's certain prayers that they say so that when that's done, you know, that type of ceremonial thing is over, you know, and now you can start. And so there are many things that exist in a Muslim's life where they're not even having any second thought about where they are, you know, because we do already feel that we are one world, so to speak, you know, and that everyone we're all connected. So we're not really separating, drawing any lines anywhere. You know, we all going into the ground. So there's, you know, we don't really, when it comes to that law thing, we're dealing with what Islam says about it, because we find that to be something that can keep the monitor there.
Before we wrap up, I'm curious as to what some of the agreements are in your relationships. So, and not necessarily that they're the same mm-hmm. with each relationship, with each wife. But what are some of the agreements?
Okay, in terms of, okay, if you with her, I don't want you to, you know, or when you go see her, we haven't really set anything down like that, you know, because we all are living lives where we know that we feel like we're still seeking to have some type of spiritual arrivals, and we're just helping each other. All of us, we're helping each other. So we don't really set any, you know, guidelines on each other, so to speak, you know, because we all know that we're helping each other. It's not like, you know, we need to, well, whatever, I just don't want to see her picture or nothing. It's like, if we're there, then how can we even be seeking anything higher, you know, than this physical reality, if we can't get over some things where we need to set some guidelines, you know, like there, we don't have any.
Any advice on how to guide a man who's interested in establishing a polygamous relationship?
Everyone's different, and the man should definitely know what type of woman that he's dealing with. I knew that when I was, I asked one of my teachers, when should you think I should get married? He said, as soon as you can. As soon as you can do it, you should do it as soon as you can. And I was like, wow. So I took that advice, you know, because it would do something to you spiritually. So if a man is trying to be a bigger and better man, know that when he does that, it's going to be putting you to test, you know, in all things, because now you're giving up really, like, a lot of things, you know. It's all for them, you know. So if a person is not, you know, ready to live like that, then they might need to, you know, question whether that's good or not. And then in dealing with the women psychologically on that issue, do research. Come with your facts, you know, but always definitely stay as comforting as possible, because it's just an emotional trip that they're going to go through, you know, and you have to do your best to keep them grounded while y'all traveling in this arena of illusions where there is no ground. You know, like, you know, just be nice, just stay nice. That's all that I say, just be nice as you can, you know.
I must say that it's quite commendable to hear you say that you're emotionally supportive. So often when we talk about polygamy and having more than one partner, it seems callous and harsh, and as though we're not taking into consideration our partner's emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. It's clear that that's not the case with what you're saying, though, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I thank you so much for being with us today. This is Frank Love. You can find me at www.franklove.com. We look forward to hearing from you and tuning in with you next week. Thanks so much. Have a great one.